This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The 2024 Olympic ceremony opened up the games in Paris, in France, on Friday night, providing spectators with a taste of French culture and blasphemous art, leading to Christians around the world being offended and at least one sponsor dropping out. One group called it a demonstration of Sodom and Gomorrah in modern time. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at the politics of Olympics, Olympic politics. We're not going to be talking about the politics within the Olympics, but the context, the political context in which Olympics take place. What is the import of politics and the Olympics? I hope you'll stay tuned, friends, because there's something in this for all of us as we consider what's happening in our world. Over 10,000 athletes gathered together, ostensibly for the purpose of creating world peace. 206 nations that are part of the Olympic group, 10 more than are part of the United Nations. So it is said that the United Nations and the Olympic Committee actually are the two most powerful organizations in the world. And both of them supposedly, ostensibly, are committed to world peace. But are they really? Where is the peace? Where really is the peace? And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about that and taking a look at the relationship even between the 1936 Olympics and our Olympics today. So I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. So let's take a look at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Very similar to the Munich Olympics, you recall, when the Israelis and there was a tremendous attack, a very devastating and deadly attack on the Jewish representation there in the Olympics in Munich. But this is going back to Berlin. 1936. So as the 2024 Paris Olympics have been unfolding, a new book has come out called Played, The Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And it hearkens to a different era with startling similar realities with current worldwide events and impacts. It's written as a novel, actually, but It's woven together with truth, actually, as a gripping story that could serve as a warning signal for world leaders in 2024 and beyond. So, again, the name of the book is Played, The Games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics, and it shows just how significant and historic the sporting world can be. So sports actually are a reflection of the mind and the heart of we the people, not only in America, but we the people around the world. And supposedly the Olympic Committee is supposed to be translating that spirit of the globe's peoples as they are directed, called to unity through sports, through the Olympics. Now, we're not here to put down the activities of the young men and women who are competing and have given body and soul almost to prepare their bodies, their minds, their abilities to be able to compete in the Olympics. They really have given themselves years and years of their lives for a performance that might only be a few seconds in length or a few minutes in length, bringing a kind of recognition, a kind of glory, and it's all for the spirit of competition and supposedly the spirit of good, honest relationship among sports figures. And you see some of that played out. For instance, I had the opportunity, took the opportunity later last evening to watch the women in gymnastics. And it was quite fascinating. They're incredibly able, trained. You look at Simone Biles, who is perhaps the greatest figure ever, they consider, at least in women's gymnastics. And here she was with an injury to her leg. Her leg wound up, bandaged up, and yet she's competing and coming out on top in most of the events that she competed in. How does a person do that and engage in certain kinds of gymnastic twists and turns that nobody else does? It's just amazing. It really is amazing. So we're not here to put down those who are competing. They're competing for an earthly prize, as we talked about on Friday of last week. We're here to, as Christians, to develop Olympic faith. In other words, to see the interrelationship between the Olympics, for instance, and living the Christian life. So if you didn't hear that program, you might want to go back and listen to that program last Friday, right there on our website, saveus.org, Olympic faith. But for now, we are engaged in a full court press globally, not for peace, but for chaos. For instance, in Venezuela, with their election that just took place on Sunday, they're declaring Maduro to be the winner, and yet the popular representation showed seemingly very clearly that he was not the winner, but he's a dictator. Will he serve another six-year term and drive Venezuela even deeper into despair, where already somewhere around 7 million Venezuelans have fled the country because of the oppression? That's political. That's political. And the people are oppressed. I don't know that there's even somebody from Venezuela that's in the Olympics, quite frankly. Maybe there is. Don't know. But that's one big problem. Then Hezbollah has just attacked Israel again in the Golan Heights and casually destroyed, killed off 12 children there in the Golan Heights who were playing soccer. And now Israel is faced with, do we respond? How do we respond? Because if we don't respond rather significantly, Hezbollah will think we're weak and we're just playing around, and they'll engage in even more. They've already launched numerous rocket attacks against Israel almost every day. Yet France and the US and other world leaders are warning warning Israel not to respond. In other words, just take it, suck it up, let's all be nice. How can you be nice when they intentionally, openly, egregiously destroyed, killed off the lives of 12 innocent kids through a rocket attack? Our world is not a peaceful place, even as the Olympics purport to unite us in peace. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, the games of the 1936 Berlin Olympics illustrate just how significant and historic the sporting world can be. And we're going to take a look at more in depth of what happened in 1936, because it is a tremendous story. In fact, it's a story that surrounds one individual. One individual. So it's almost like, though, what we're experiencing today The world then felt like it was teetering on the brink of war. Nazi Germany was rattling its sabers. One of the most memorable of all Olympic Games was taking place in Berlin. Just as all of this saber rattling is going on today with Russia, and then we have Mr. Erdogan with Turkey, who has come out and said he wants to invade Israel. Yes, you heard that correctly. In other words, he wants to gain tremendous recognition because he wants to be the leader that will usher in an Islamic caliphate on behalf of Turkey, like a new neo-Ottoman empire. So all of these things are taking place right now, even as we speak. And that's just a small iteration of what's going on. It's big. Our world is in chaos. Saber rattling is not just with Germany, it's everywhere. Germany is just kind of almost a relatively passive player now. France is right in the middle of it. Liberty, equality, and fraternity is not playing out well across the world, is it? No, it's not. So we're going to take a look at a little bit more about those 1936 Olympics in Berlin and why this is significant. As we do, the headline from Newsmax today is Trump and Harris enter a 99-day sprint. So there it is, the connection again to the Olympics, politics and the Olympics. The U.S. Presidential campaign now a 99-day sprint after the historic swap out. Barely a week ago, a sense of inevitability hung over the U.S. presidential election. Donald Trump's allies were predicting a landslide victory. Democrats were desperate and listless, feared the worst as a diminished President Joe Biden was clinging to his party's nomination. But then over the last 7 days, 1 week, unlike any other in American history, the 2024 presidential contest has been transformed. Now, just 99 days before Election Day, a fundamentally new race is taking shape. See, politics and Olympics, the race. The incredible speed with which the election was transformed is a stark reminder that very little is certain. And even now, the Democrats' newfound confidence might be premature. And so things are changing rapidly. They're changing rapidly in our world, very much like a race can change rapidly in the Olympics. It can change very rapidly. And we're going to see that that's exactly what happened back there in 1936 with the Berlin Olympics. Here's what happened. Against a backdrop of racial discrimination, a young fellow by the name of Jesse Owens shined. He won gold medals in the 100-meter dash, the long jump, the 200-meter dash, and the 4x100-meter relay. He had a relatively short track career that in many people's eyes is regarded as one of the greatest ever in history. Jesse Owens. But there's more to the fact that he just won those races and set new world records. It's what he did in the context of Hitler's efforts to declare the glories of the Aryan race and to demean anyone else, including Jews and black people. So here is a young black man. Owens, Jesse Owens, was continually subject to discrimination as he grew up. He couldn't get an athletic scholarship to Ohio State. And even during track team road trips, he had to eat carry out or in restaurants for blacks and stay in hotels for blacks. And still, he not only persevered, but he thrived on the track. Even after tumbling down some stairs just 5 days before the 1935 Big Ten Conference track championships. In fact, he was unable to stretch or move much without pain. He was unsure whether he would be able to participate, and yet he set 3 world records and tied a 4th in less than 1 hour. That's amazing. Here's the timeline. At 3:15 p.m., he tied the world record in the 100-yard dash. At 3:25 p.m., he shattered the previous long jump world record by more than half a foot, setting a new mark that stood for 25 years. By 3:34 p.m., he broke the 220-yard dash world record. By 4 p.m., he broke the 220-yard hurdles world record, winning the race by 5 yards. So, it's interesting. Owen's career ended after the Berlin 1936 Olympic Games, but USA Track and Field annually awards the Jesse Owens Award to the best athlete in track and field. Now, that's some kind of history. That's some kind of renown. So, we go to those Olympics, and this was an amazing thing. Jesse Owens there in the Olympics in 1936. Here's what he did. We just told you what happened on May 25th of 1935, just before the Olympics, where he averaged a world record every 9 minutes at the Big Ten Championships, even though he had been substantially injured 5 days before. 45 minutes, set 5 world record-breaking performances, and a world record equaling 1 3/4 of an hour. He had a friend. Well, not a friend, but there was a fella back in the, I believe it was the 1980s. His name was Carl Lewis, very much like Owens. In fact, he followed in Jesse Owens' footsteps 48 years later by winning the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the long jump, and the 4x100 meter quadruple at the Los Angeles Games. So how did he do that? How was he able to do that without any kind of resistance? It's because of Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens not only broke all those world records in 1936, but he also broke through Hitler's resistance to black people or non-Aryans competing in the Olympics. Jesse Owens' competition in the Olympics there in 1936 completely revolutionized and, in one sense, actually destroyed or attacked Hitler's Aryan efforts as he was beginning to launch into World War II. So, that's where we are with regard to the Olympic Games, with regard to politics and the Olympics. So, here was a background of racial discrimination. Jesse Owens shined at the Berlin 1936 Games, winning gold medals in the 100-meter dash, long jump, 200-meter dash, and the 4x100-meter relays. And I've run in every one of those myself, but not like a Jesse Owens or a Carl Lewis. So, they ran for a temporal award. They ran for gold. Go for the gold. Well, how about us as Christians going for the gold? A crown of glory. The Apostle Paul talked about that crown of glory. Remember, he said, you know, I so run that I may obtain. I am not looking back. I'm not looking back at my previous injuries. I'm not looking back at the things that have troubled me. I'm not looking back at the fact that I murdered and consulted to the destruction and arrest of Christians. I'm not looking back at that. God has transformed my life. That's not who I am today. And so now, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark. So I want to ask you a question. Are you pressing toward the mark? Now, don't answer too quickly. Don't answer glibly. Are you pressing toward the mark? Or are you kind of lollygagging around, resting on your so-called spiritual laurels, some confession that you made 20, 30, 40 years ago, and thinking that that's going to carry you? That didn't carry Apostle Paul. He said, look, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are become new and are becoming new. Therefore, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, what is that high calling? Is that heaven? Well, from Paul's perspective, it wasn't just heaven. He said, I'm awaiting a crown of glory that the Lord has promised to those who are walking with him, who don't give up, who press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the spirit of the world, not walking according to the flesh, but are walking according to the spirit, that are running and not be weary, walking and not fainting, because they are waiting on the Lord. In other words, they're doing his bidding. They're resting in him. They're trusting in him. They're doing his bidding. And because of that, they are able to run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Now, do any of us have injuries? Do we have injuries like physical injuries? Do we have emotional injuries? Do we have rejection? Do we experience rejection? Absolutely we do. That's part of what it means to be a human being. Yeah, it really is. And if you think you've been rejected more than the Apostle Paul, then you're a very unique individual, because he lists all the things that happened to him: shipwreck, thrown in jail, beaten. How many times was he beaten? Just sure of death. They chased him everywhere he went. You talk about rejection. You talk about bearing in your body the persecution of those who despise the Lord and his word and will and ways. We're walking according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. That's what the Apostle Paul endured. And then he turned around and said, now you need to walk the same way. Reminds me of Jesse Owens, who had fallen down 5 stairs and was in just mortal pain. His back was wrenched out, and this was 5 days before this major competition, and they didn't think he would compete. But he said that he was going to compete, and when he did, he said it was almost like things changed miraculously for me, and I was able to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. I was able to compete with full strength and set 4 new world records at the same time. You see, when you're in the Olympics, you're not going to allow things that otherwise would trouble people, you're not going to allow them to deter you from the task ahead. You're going to do what you're called to do. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and not faint. That's just the way it is. And so, as the coach says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. How many times did I use that when I was a coach of track and field and cross country? Telling those competitors on my team, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. What does that mean for us as Christians? It means it's time to toughen up. It's time to prepare, because things are going to get tougher. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
It appears that the Paris Olympics are being utilized in the spirit of the world to catapult the world into exactly what Jesus said would happen just before his return, that we would become like Sodom and Gomorrah. The Paris Olympics. Officials with the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris are offering an apology of sorts in connection with their intentional pagan reimagining of Jesus' Last Supper featuring an obese woman and drag queens, but many Christians aren't accepting their pretense of sentiment. They said, "We intended to show tolerance and community. If people have taken any offense, we are, of course, really, really sorry." No, they're not. They're not sorry. So the online reaction to the statement is far from apology accepted. As one said, let's be clear. The Olympics did not apologize for the Last Supper skit. Basically, they said, "We're sorry if you were offended, but whatever." And that's not an apology. Sorry, Olympics apology not accepted. There was no tolerance for Christians. In fact, their God and their faith was attacked. Not a mistake or a miscalculation, unacceptable. In fact, it's kind of a masterpiece of woke duplicity, said one. "We tried to celebrate community tolerance," they said, "except for those pesky 2.6 billion Christians on the planet. Everyone's tolerated. Until you get to someone, anyone who disagrees with your ideology." Bishop Robert Barron, Catholic bishop, said, "I wonder what planet they're living on if they think that harmony and peace and all this was achieved by this clear affront to Christians. Christians were offended because it was offensive, and it was intended to be offensive," he said. "Meaningless platitudes meant to shut down the conversation with no remorse at all. The opening of the Olympics in France recreated the Last Supper with an overweight woman as Jesus, a naked man painted blue, drag queens, and a child as disciples. The idea was to do a big pagan early party linked to the gods of Olympus." In other words, carrying forward the spirit, the pagan spirit of the Olympics when they began in 776 BC. The Mississippi-based telecommunications and technology company, CSpire, pulled all of its advertising from the Olympics over the ceremony's mockery of painted Christian, the painting created to show a biblical moment crucial to the Christian faith. The sixth largest wireless provider in U.S. telecommunications removed all scheduled advertising from the Olympics after they displayed satanic imagery and mock Christianity in their opening ceremony. The four-hour spectacle was held along the Seine River, featuring global stars like Celine Dion and Lady Gaga, both of whom are considered icons for the queer community. Wow. The 2024 World Olympic Games opening ceremony in Paris, featuring a decapitated head singing, "Why do the global elite love to use occult-like imagery so much? Because that's who they are. That's the spirit of the age. In fact, we are and have become Sodom and Gomorrah, not just in the United States of America, but globally. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be just before my return. As it was in the days of Noah, and also as it was in the days of Lot. So then Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what did Lot's wife do? She was taken dramatically by angels out of Sodom and Gomorrah with her husband and her two daughters. She was warned by the angels, as were her husband Lot and the two daughters, warned not to look back. In other words, don't hanker after Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't hanker after worldliness. Don't hanker after those things. But she did, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She became destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah because she demonstrated that's where her heart was. So the question then has to be for us, where is our heart? Now, you may not hanker after these kinds of displays there in the Seine River, where they were cavorting and demonstrating all of this mockery of the Last Supper. You may not hanker after that. But what do you hanker after in the spirit of the world? What about the spirit of the world are you seduced by? You see, there's a melding here of politics and spirituality and sports. Sports, spirituality, and politics. And this demonstration that went on in France, led by the Olympic Committee, was both political and spiritual. It was intended to be that. It wasn't just political because it was upholding the whole idea of LGBTQ and all of that. It wasn't that. It was much more than that. It was a direct and open spiritual assault on anyone who would disagree. In other words, all professing Christians who would not agree with that social and political and anti-biblical viewpoint. So viewpoint is determining destiny. Viewpoint continues to determine destiny, and the viewpoint of our world is increasingly and very solemnly set against the word, will, and ways of God. It just is. So let me ask you a question. Would you consider what they did there in that particular float, or whatever you want to call it, that display against the mocking the Last Supper and so on, would you consider that a form of persecution? Just asking. Now, it may not have hit you directly, so you didn't feel any whiplashes on you. It didn't take away any dollars from your pocket, didn't take away your job and so on. But it was. It was open persecution. It was intended to slap Christians in the face and to defile anyone who believed in the God of the Bible and the standards, the moral and spiritual standards set forth by Jesus in his word. That's what it's intended to do. So we're looking at politics, you see, and the Olympics. The Olympics became an avenue, a vehicle in the course of history and of humankind to transmit the spirit of the world and to dig it as deeply as possible to enculturate it into the mind and heart of the world's peoples. That's why all who competed in the Greek Olympics had to do so in the nude. And those who were going to attend also had to defrock themselves, and all of them in attendance had to be in the nude. It was all about the glorification of the human body and shaking the fist against God and his word when God himself, you see, clothed the original humankind, Adam and Eve. He made the clothes. He clothed them because they were naked. They realized they were naked because they had rebelled against God and his word. God said, now you must be clothed. Now you must be clothed. Humankind says, no, we don't want to be clothed. Look at what's happening in the nature of clothing. Is it to help women be more clothed? No. It's to help them pretend to be more clothed while being unclothed. That's the whole trend, isn't it? You see, we have to see things in a bigger picture. It's not just little things that happen along the way. It's not just the little yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today, the song said back in the 1950s. That was just a iteration of the complete trend toward the declothing of humankind while pretending to be clothed. Getting us close to disobeying while pretending to obey. Isn't that the way it is? It's that way in the church house. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, but not so much if he steps on my toes. All right. Now, I want to encourage you with some participants in the Olympics, because just because the Olympic Games have a root that is pagan doesn't mean that everyone in the Games are pagan. And there was a fellow by the name of Carl Lewis, who another black gentleman like Jesse Owens, and he competed in 1984. Jesse Owens in 1936 in the Berlin Games. But if it had not been for Jesse Owens, it may be that Carl Lewis would never have been able to compete in 1984. So what happened with the 1984 Olympics? Well, a superstar was born. Another superstar was born. And his name was Carl Lewis. I remember those days. It was amazing. I'm looking at his face right now. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Well, as a result of Jesse Owens entering into the 1936 Olympics in Berlin against the will of Adolf Hitler, As a result of that, 48 years later, Carl Lewis came in, and he actually won 9 gold medals. Only one of 4 Olympic athletes to win 9 gold medals. An amazing guy. Absolutely amazing guy. But I want to direct your attention to somebody else who's amazing. And by the way, Simone Biles perhaps may never have been able to compete in the gymnastics, women's gymnastics. She has become kind of the name of the sport these days. A black young lady, and she's racked up 4 gold medals, 1 silver, 2 bronze medals, developed her own groundbreaking routine, floor routine, and is now back at the Games. And she is one of the biggest, greatest Olympians of all time. Amazing person. But there's another one I want to point your attention to. Her name is Sydney McLaughlin. She's competing in the Olympics, and she'll be in several different events. In fact, there are those who say she is the number one person to watch in these 2024 Olympics. One of the best track superstars in the world right now. That's coming from the Associated Press. One of the greatest superstars in the world right now. Her name is Sydney McLaughlin. Don't forget her name. Why is that? Well, here's what Sydney McLaughlin said. It's recorded in the Christian Post. She declares anything is possible in Christ after breaking the world record again. Here's an Olympic athlete declared that anything is possible in Christ. She's an outspoken Christian track athlete, broke the world record of the United States Olympic Team Trials in Eugene, Oregon. When asked about her thoughts on her accomplishments in an interview with NBC Sports, she said, "Praise God. I was not expecting that. He can do anything. Anything's possible with Christ." She concluded her brief remarks by describing herself as amazed, baffled, and in shock. In other words, she doesn't walk around in pride like some athletes do, like Usain Bolt. Her strong performance secured her a spot in this year's Olympic Games, and she is going to be up against one very strong competitor. In 2022, she broke her own world record in the 400-meter hurdles in Eugene, and she took to Instagram to give gratitude to God. She quoted from Hebrews chapter 4, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Praise his name," she said. "What a beautiful day yesterday was preparing for this meet. The core of my team was centered around faith and belief. The amount of prayer coupled with hard work was divinely culminated in 50.68 seconds. By the grace of God, we accomplished our goal." She continued to push the bounds of the sport because she said, "With God, all things are possible." So, she gives glory to God after completing the race in 51.46 seconds earlier. She's eager to share her Christian faith. It extends beyond her athletic career and into her personal life. In 2021, she became engaged to former football player Andre Lavone. The track star praised her then fiancé as the most God-fearing, passionate, honest, loving, hardworking, protective, and genuine man I've ever met, and someone who possesses everything I prayed for. In a social media post addressed to her future husband, she said, "I fall in love with you more and more each day off the strength of your faith." In an earlier interview with the Christian Post, she said, "The one thing that's unchanging is my faith in Christ, and that is the most valuable thing. Not the gold medals, but my faith in Christ." She added that her purpose is being able to share that truth with people and allow them to come to know and love the Lord in the way in which I have come to know and love. God has been so kind in just allowing me the opportunity to, first of all, fail without him and realize my need for him. Living my life, she said, for so long apart from him and trying to succeed in worldly measure of what success looks like, it always left me empty when I attained it. So she said, she encouraged people to always strive for excellence and always strive to do things in a manner worthy of the calling of God. She said, we're all fallen. We're sinful humans. But we need to press forward in trying to attain perfection. If we don't, we're diminishing the need for Christ. In appreciating him as our Savior, she said, we humble ourselves to realize that we're not perfect. The Lord is sufficient in all things, and being able to glorify him throughout my career and through my life on the track has shown me a purpose bigger than myself. That's worthy of sharing, isn't it? Her name is Sydney McLaughlin, but because she's married, you'll find her name Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone, Lavrone being the last name of her husband. Anything is possible with Christ. So again, the question is, how are you and I living? Are we living a life that would qualify us for, shall we say, Olympic faith? Am I living that kind of life? You say, well, I can't run the 400 meters, and I can't run the running long jump, and I can't do those things. That's true. I understand that. Even though I love those things, I can't do them to the extent and never was able to do them to the extent of Olympic success. I still love them. I did my best. But as a Christian, I don't want to stop doing my best. And I don't want to strive to be somebody else. I don't want to strive to be some pastor or some bigwig or somebody that did this, that, or the other and has become notorious or famous or whatever. That's not what we're striving to do. Paul didn't strive to become famous. In fact, he was becoming more infamous as time went on. But he was willing to be infamous in order to gain favor with the Lord, not favor with mankind. He had to say some very hard things. In fact, his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, was very direct and very hard, and it was very troubling to the Corinthian church. But in 2 Corinthians, he tried to show them that the reason why he wrote that is because of his exceeding great desire and love for them, that they would walk worthy of Christ himself. They wouldn't get caught up with the spirit of the world that was so heavy in Greece, in Corinth. Remember, that's where the Olympic Games came from. Greece. And they were rooted in paganism. Not to the glory of God. And yet the very Apostle Paul, who knew that, realized the spirit of competing, of running the race, and he used that metaphor so powerfully there in his epistles. So run that you might obtain. Don't give up. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on. As the the song of yesteryear once said, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still pressing as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That should be our desire. That should be our hope. That should be our purpose. Daniel, the prophet, as a young man, there in the opening pages of the book of Daniel, opening words, he said, it is said, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the spirit of the world. Have you purposed in your heart that way? I mean, really purposed in your heart? It's so easy, you see, to be caught up in the ways and the spirit of the world. Just imagine what it's like there with the Olympic competitors and some Christian people in there. There are those. But the spirit of the rest of those athletes is not Christ-like at all. It's extremely worldly. Why do you think they pass out hundreds of thousands of condoms? Why do you think they do that? The spirit of the world. You see, we're all facing that kind of thing everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Do you need a condom for your eyes? Men, are you allowing your eyes to get you in trouble? Ladies, are you allowing your eyes to get you in trouble? When over 70% of Christian men admit to be involved in pornography, and 34% of Christian women admit to pursuing forms of pornography that attract women? You see, there are applications here that we don't necessarily think about. So again, so run that you may obtain. Obtain what? Obtain the prize that is awarded to those who press on, who don't give up, who are seeking the Lord with a whole heart, seeking to walk with Him faithfully, rejecting the ways of the world and embracing Jesus Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength to do His will just like Jesus did. As Jesus said, my will is to do the will of Him that sent me. Now, you and I are engaged as ambassadors. We're in a different kind of Olympics. We're in a spiritual Olympics. The political Olympics are going on. The religiously pagan Olympics are going on. There are all kinds of other things that are going on. But you and I are called uniquely to be ambassadors for a spiritual Olympics where there is a great prize. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, there is a great crowd of witnesses, friends, that is cheering us on for the heavenlies. Cheering us on that we will run and not be weary, that we will not, that we will walk and not faint. Let that be you, my friend. Now, become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministry. Enable us to be able to get this message out in so many different ways around the world to prepare God's people for history's final hour. You see, the Olympics can actually preach to us if we're willing to let them. God bless and be a blessing. Keep running to the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.